So the question title of my sermon is, do you have 2020 vision? Show of hands, who has 2020 vision without assistance? Anybody? Not many of us, right? So here is, I have a picture here of an eye chart. Does this look familiar to anybody? Can anybody read that bottom line? What's the lowest you can read? For me right here, I can read NCKHD. But I'm a lot closer than you all are. But that's an eye chart, right? That's what they use to test our vision. This next one here is a little bit easier to read. Who can read the bottom line with the red line under it? Z, 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 Z. That's 2020 vision. There you go. Next picture here. How many of you ever feel like this when you're at the eye doctor, though? Like this guy trying to look at the eye chart. But the passage we're going to look at today is a lot like a vision test of sorts. I put that in quotes. A vision test. And so what we're going to read is an extremely well-told narrative by Matthew, who wrote this. And Matthew sets this event up very strategically. So it's just like a good book or a good movie or whatever. He starts out, he sets the scene. We're going to look at four different things here. He sets the scene. There's two movements, first movement, second movement, and then a conclusion. All in 12 verses, Matthew is going to share this event that he was a part of. And so what we're looking at here is Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. And it's a very familiar passage. But hopefully after today, you'll pick up some things that maybe you haven't heard before. So verse 22 through 24. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by that time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was strong. So there, Matthew is setting the scene. So what happened before this? That's always important, as I like to tell you, context here. So right before this, you heard this message last week, if you were here for Pastor Bill, the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus had just got done with the amazing miracle he did, feeding the 5,000. And remember, before that, the disciples told Jesus that he should dismiss the crowds, get rid of the people. It's time to rest. Jesus didn't listen to them and ended up performing that great miracle. And now we jump to this. Immediately, whenever you see the word immediately, by the way, something big is going to happen. But anyway, Jesus dismisses his disciples to go on ahead of him out on the boat. Wind and waves, we'll get to that in a second. And then, and only then, he dismisses the crowds. So what does this tell us about Jesus? Once again, we are seeing that Jesus is in charge of everything that is happening and everything that's going to happen. So he dismisses his disciples. He dismisses the crowd. He goes up on a mountain to pray by himself. Wow. Do you think we followers of Jesus could learn something here from our teacher? He went up on a mountain to pray by himself. So my question is, when is the last time you literally sat by yourself praying with no noise? Is it even possible nowadays? But when's the last time you've done that? That's exactly what Jesus did. And in the Bible, we learn that Jesus often did this prayed by himself before something major was going to happen. Just a couple examples. He did this before he called his 12 disciples. He went by himself to pray. Another one was right before Peter makes the great confession, when Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And Jesus says, "You are the Son of God." He prayed right before that. Because the only way that Peter could say that was because of the Holy Spirit that gave him the ability to say that. But Jesus prayed before that. And as we all know, Jesus also prayed before the biggest thing he was going to do. The night he was arrested, Jesus went off into the Garden of Gethsemane by himself to pray. I think we can definitely learn something here from our master. Who here has something major coming up in their life? Anybody? Maybe God's telling us to take some time alone, to pray, to seek his guidance and direction before that next big thing happens. So we see Jesus praying alone before he is going to start walking on water. And he's going to reveal to his disciples that he is indeed the Son of God. So the line I have here on the screen for you, Jesus has crystal clear vision on what happens next. So let's move on. The scene is set. Let's go to the first movement, verses 25 through 29. "And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, 'It is a ghost!' And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid.' And Peter answered him, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' And Jesus said, 'Come.'" All right, there's a lot going on here. Now remember, the disciples have been dismissed already by Jesus. They're a long ways ahead. They're crossing the Sea of Galilee from one side to the other. They're way ahead, but there's a lot of wind and waves, so they're tired. They're battling these waves. And Jesus, to save time, walks on water out towards them at the fourth watch of the night. By the way, that's 3 to 6 a.m. Between 3 and 6 a.m., he comes walking out on the water towards where the disciples are battling in the boat, battling the wind and the waves. Now, remember something about these disciples. Most of them were fishermen, and they have seen probably a lot of stuff go down on the sea. But they see Jesus, and they have a threefold reaction. I kind of map this out here to what's going on here. The first thing they did is it says they were terrified. Has anybody been scared by something? You're terrified. Second thing, they say, "It's a ghost." And then the third thing, they cry out in fear. So now they're crying. You know, this is actually the exact same response of my daughters when they see a spider. This threefold response: terrified, screaming out, "It's a spider." They don't say it's a ghost. And then they cry out in fear, "Dad, come kill it." Does anybody else know what I'm talking about here? But that's what we got here. And then Jesus tells them to don't be afraid. He says, "Take heart, it is I." It's me, guys. It's me, Jesus. And so the first movement of this narrative shows us that Jesus is walking on the water and the disciples have blurry vision. You know, it's always easy to poke at the disciples and their lack of faith and them getting scared and screaming out, "It's a ghost," when they see Jesus walking, and then Jesus says, "It is I." But their vision was definitely a little blurry. So how often, though, even though they're so easy to pick on, how often are we just like these disciples, though? Have this blurry vision. Jesus is right there in front of us, telling us who he is, the Son of God. And yet we are still a little scared, can't quite see right, a little blurry. Has anybody ever experienced that? Even though Jesus is right there in front of us, we just have a little bit of that blurry vision. So that's the first movement. Let's move to the second movement of this narrative in Matthew chapter 14. Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" So now we get the second movement of this narrative. So let me recap what's going on so far. So the disciples are out battling the waves and the wind in their boat. Jesus comes walking out onto the water. Walking on the water. Sometimes we may overlook that amazing miracle. And they freak out, think it's a ghost, but then Jesus says it, "Guys, don't be afraid, it's me, Jesus." And it's at this moment that Peter decides to speak up. Peter, the one that loves to shove his foot in his mouth. So that's that. Can you imagine the gall of Peter, the guts? Who does he think he is? This huge moment is happening, and he's like, "Oh, wait a second, Jesus, if it's really you, invite me to come out." You know, a lot of times when we hear this narrative, this event that happened, people want to make this event about Peter. Remember, you know, we should just get out of the boat and walk on water. But why did it come to that? It came to that because Peter doubted the first time Jesus said, "It's me." That wasn't enough for Peter. Peter needed more proof that it was Jesus. You know, the purpose of this passage is not to prop up Peter as one of great faith, because actually, he double doubted. Jesus told him, "It's me." He said, "I need to walk on water towards you in order to believe." And so Peter's extremely weak vision shows us the grace of Jesus. Notice Jesus didn't shoot Peter down, but he invited Peter to come out to him. And it says here in the text, Peter was walking on water. That's amazing, right? But what does Peter do? How could he possibly doubt at this point? Jesus said, "It's me." He invited Peter to come out. Now Peter's walking on the water. How could he possibly doubt any further, right? Well, he did. He does doubt. And he took his eyes off Jesus and focused on the wind and the waves. And what happened? He sunk. How often do you take your eyes off Jesus to focus in on the chaos around us, the fears, the anxieties, the trials, the tests that we are going through in this world, the calendars, the time, the kids, the parents, the grandparents, all the stuff around us that tempts us to take our eyes off of Jesus. Does it happen to any of you? And how does Jesus respond to this? With grace. Peter's sinking and cries out in fear again, "Lord, save me." And what does Jesus do? He reaches his hand out and pulls him out of the water. And you know what? Just like Peter, that's exactly what he does to you. When we lose our vision, when we lose our 20/20 vision, we take our eyes off Jesus and focus on the wind and the waves. And we sink. Jesus is right there and picks you back up out of the water as well. Why? Because he loves us. Because of that grace. And so now we get to the conclusion of this narrative of Jesus walking on water. The last couple verses here. "And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" Jesus came into the ship, which has been battered and beaten now by the wind and the waves that they've been going across the Sea of Galilee. Jesus gets in, everything goes calm. And this just shows us that, you know, the church building has often been compared to a ship. Jesus comes into us and we are blessed by his presence among us. Just like those disciples in that boat. So the purpose of this passage is to give us 20/20 vision on who Jesus is. The purpose of this passage is to not go out and be like Peter, but to recognize who Jesus is. And that we have 20/20 vision on him. And who is Jesus? He is the Son of God. He is divine. Jesus is true man and true God. Obviously, he's showing a very divine thing here by walking on water. He's telling his disciples and us that he is indeed the Son of God, the one that God promised from Genesis way back in the Garden of Eden, that he was going to send somebody that was going to take care of the devil and his sin once and for all. And you know what, though? There are times, right, that you and I screw up. I know I do. I can tell you as a pastor, I'm supposed to be better than you, right? I'm not. I screw up. I mess up. We all screw up and mess up. But it's because of those times why Jesus came in the first place. Because he knew we couldn't do it. We just are so tempted and we give in and we want to look at the things around us, all the chaos around us, all the problems of this world, which makes us take our eyes off Jesus. Now I have a verse on the screen here, Luke 9:51. "When the days drew near for him to be taken up, Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem." You see, what Luke is telling us here is at that point, Jesus had his eyes fixed on Jerusalem. Nothing was going to distract him because he was going to Jerusalem to die for us and take care of our sin, disease once and for all. Jesus had crystal clear vision, 20/20 vision, whatever you want to say, he had complete focus. His face was set for the cross, because that's what he came to do. So I have a challenge for you this week. It's up on the screen. I got another eye chart. Can you read it? Keep your eyes focused on Jesus.